I got loyalty inside my DNA. And welcome into the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by Hoopball and the Hoopball Podcast Network. I'm your host, Damian Barling, and I thank you as always for tuning in. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, for listening, and I thank you for allowing us to be a part of your Sacramento Kings coverage as the Kings lose tonight 125-108 to a very shorthanded Philadelphia 76ers tonight at the Golden 1 Center. Drops the Kings record now to 27-35 on the season. You'll hear from Luke Walton coming up here in just a few minutes. As always, we'll go over the ins and outs of this game and really what it boils down to. It boils down to the three-pointer for the Sacramento Kings. They started hitting them late, but the discrepancy between what Philadelphia was doing and what Sacramento was doing through the bulk of that game was pretty large. Philly kept hitting three after three. And in the 2020 version of the NBA, 17-37 doesn't really seem like an outrageous number, but man, those threes were timely. It felt like Philadelphia, they got out there without Joel Embiid, without Ben Simmons, without Josh Richardson. They got out there and, you know, they hit this game. Just, they went at it full force, head first. They just put their heads and ran downhill with this game. And they had control of it really for the entire game. There were two stretches, one in the third, one in the fourth, where the Kings made serious runs at the game, where double-digit leads got shrank down. I mean, the Kings were down by as many as, I think, they were certainly down 20. I'll double-check right now as we roll along to make sure that was the biggest deficit in the game, and it was. You know, Philly led wire to wire in this game. It was really, as I was transitioning, some of you may know, I did the, I was on the Hot Mic app today, which is, it's a dope new app that just provides kind of like a second screen with commentary, commentary from me. You can sync it up to your TV and, you know, a bunch of Kings fans were kind enough to join me and have some fun with me. I hope you'll give it a chance to check out. Just search Hot Mic in your app store, regardless of it's Android or Apple or whatever it is, just search for Hot Mic, download that, use the invite code Damian725, and you could join me for any Kings games that I do. But we had a lot of fun doing that, and as I was transitioning kind of from the end of that broadcast over here to the podcast, I could hear kind of in the background Grant and Doug talking about how the Sacramento Kings came out and how disappointing the game is and that they didn't approach the game with a certain amount of energy. And I didn't really look at it that way. And you know, when doing that Hot Mic app, it put me in a position to kind of do what I used to do where I didn't hear any commentary during the game. I was just, you know, watching it on my own and, you know, chatting it up with other Kings fans that were in the app. And I didn't think that the Kings came out lazy or lackluster or without any certain amount of energy. I thought Philadelphia was better. Like, at some point, you just have to, like, you don't always lose games because of effort or energy or anything like that. Sometimes you just have to acknowledge that the other team was better today. That's how I walked away from this game. I walked away from this game feeling like, yeah, Philadelphia was pretty freaking good tonight. You know, Philadelphia went in there knowing Sacramento was probably feeling a certain way, knowing that Joel Embiid was gone and Ben Simmons was gone and Josh Richardson was gone and that their game plan was going to have to be different. Well, by the way, these guys have a pretty good infrastructure going on there in Philadelphia right now. I know there's been talk, including by me on my daily podcast, about the different, you know, turmoil going on with the Philadelphia 76ers. But if you got Tobias Harris, like, let's not forget what Tobias Harris did for the Los Angeles Clippers, you know, for the bulk of last year. But you got Tobias and Al Horford as your 1-2 backups? Yeah, man, that's not bad. Not to mention one of my new favorite names in the NBA, Shake Milton, had himself a nice little game at the Golden 1 Center tonight. This is a team that, while I do believe Brett Brown is, I believe his time with Philadelphia is likely coming to an end. Luke Walton's already at the podium, though. Let's hear what he has to say following the loss.
I mean, they were bigger, stronger. At least it felt like that tonight. They wanted it more, it felt like. And, they made 17 threes, 45% from threes, you know, kicked our butts with second chance points. And, you know, it's one of those things. And I think, Katie, you asked about it before the game, but it's, you know, we've been winning, having some success. This team's been struggling on the road, and their two all-star players are out. But that's a good team. I mean, two all-stars are out, but Tobias and Al, I don't know if we didn't expect them to come out and do that to us, but they set the tone early. And then when we did make our run, you know, Neto, Burks hit some big shots for them. They stepped up. They stepped up and made plays when they needed to. So, you know, it's give them credit. We needed that one, but we got two big games coming up this weekend. So we gotta get back to work tomorrow and get ready for the road.
Katie Hunter, Kings TV. Luke, you used Buddy sparingly in the first half, just 8 minutes, and then went to him kind of a little bit later in the third. What was the kind of driving force behind kind of going away from him until a little bit later?
Well, I was trying to find a group to go. We weren't getting the job done out there. The starters didn't start well. And then we got to that second group, and they came in and, you know, finished that quarter and tied it up, down two. And then right from there, we start turning. We've been doing a great job of taking care of the ball. All of a sudden, we start turning the ball over and getting sloppy and doing things that Philadelphia was taking advantage of. So, you know, we're late enough into the season. Like, come on, we have to, you know, we have to keep things going. We're trying to find a group that could find that level again. And I thought Buddy did a nice job in the second half, and he was competing on defense and knocking down some shots for us. So it was more of just trying to find a group that was, you know, gonna get us back in that game.
Jason Jones, The Athletic. Philly, like I said, struggles on the road. They're down two guys, but it seemed like they came out and played a desperate from the start. Can your team kind of learn from the idea, you know, down this stretch, that that's the type of a level you have to come out with every night?
Yeah, we're gonna learn that lesson. You know, hopefully, if we're winning games, we're going to have to win playing at a high level and being desperate like that, like you said, because when you come down and you're playing, you know, we got Portland, Toronto, including ourselves, everyone's either jockeying for playoff seating or to make the playoffs. And we got a lot of those type of games on our schedule. So we're going to see, we're going to feel firsthand that desperation, that intensity. So it'll be good for us.
Coach Matt George, Sports 1140 KHDK. From a teaching standpoint, how do you balance the negatives of falling behind by big double-digit leads with the positives of being able to get back into the game and go on those runs and cut it down to single digits pretty quickly?
Yeah, we've had a nice we got a group that's done that quite a bit. They don't quit, and that's kind of, you know, it's something you love out of your players. But we'll focus in that film session tomorrow on the negative aspects of why we got down so big and blowing defensive coverages and not boxing out or coming back in and turning the ball over, all those type of things that we've done a much better job at. That's where the focus will be at tomorrow.
Luke, James Hamm, NBC Sports. When you look at the way you guys came back, and then we've talked about this many times, the attention to detail seems like just wasn't there on so many of those possessions, turnovers, not boxing out. It just seemed like there was a series of mistakes, fouls. How do you clean that stuff up while you're in the middle of this run?
Well, it's, you know, back-to-back coming up, so there's not going to be much practice tomorrow. It's going to be a long film session. And that's, you know, depending on where the schedule is, a lot of it is that while we're on the move, this professional sports, we have to continue to learn. So we're going to have film sessions. We're going to do the same things we've been doing, including the players, getting them involved and communicating it out as a way to help learn. But, you know, a lot of the stuff has gotten better. But, you know, tonight they just seem hungrier, more desperate, wanting it. I mean, they physically, I mean, every DHO we ran, they were blowing us up, making us run our offense further out. We talked about doing that to them and not letting them Horford catch the ball on the elbow. He was living on the elbow, running their offense all night long. So to me, I mean, that's right there is are we really playing at the level we need to? And if that's happening, no, we're not.
Sean Cunningham.
I thought that was a really good question by Matt George when he asked. I think that's like a glass half empty, glass half full thing. Like, hey, the Kings came back from 16 down. Cool. Why are the Kings always down by 16? You know what I mean? I thought that was a really good question there by Matt, and I thought Luke did as good of a job as he could, you know, answering that, because you do want to praise the guys for continuing to fight and fight and fight, but also you've got to address, like, guys, why do we constantly find ourselves in this position? And I'm sorry that the start of the press conference got cut off a little bit. I was surprised to see him. It seemed that he got to the podium a smidge bit quicker than he normally does, but it sounded like he was kind of co-signing what we were talking about earlier, in that Philadelphia just came out and played better. You know, we talked about on the Hot Mic broadcast about how a lot of teams make runs because their opponent leaves the door open for them. Philadelphia wasn't leaving the door open for Sacramento, and when they did, the two times that they did, the Kings took advantage. And, you know, Luke Walton just kind of addressed those at the press conference as well. There were a couple of points in today's game where the Sixers started, they finally started missing threes. That didn't happen until the fourth quarter. But in the third, they were missing shots around the basket. And the Kings got quality looks on the other side. They got quality looks on the offensive end. And they were able to cut into the lead. They were able to get it down to, I think it was as close as six. And a couple of bad possessions later, it was back to a double-digit lead. By the second time, it got back to a double-digit lead, the game had ended. Like, it was over. Like, we were at a wrap. The Kings were just going to run out of time. There wasn't going to be another run in them. And you also heard, you heard Luke Walton again kind of co-signing what we were talking about. Yeah, it sucks, you know, for Philadelphia that Embiid is gone and that Simmons is gone and that those all-stars and, you know, all-pro players are gone. But when you got Tobias Harris and Al Horford as your two, not normally your 1-2, they're like your 1-2 backups all of a sudden, yeah, you're in pretty freaking good shape. And Tobias Harris, he had himself a good night. He had 28 points tonight. He had 28 points on 11 of 22 shooting. What's more impressive about that is that at one point he was like 7 of 9 shooting. He had like 21 points on 7 of 9 shooting. So he actually cooled down significantly. But 28 points, 14 rebounds for Tobias Harris. You heard him mention Shake, my new favorite name in the NBA, Shake Milton. He had 20 points tonight. Al Horford with a good performance, as you would expect from Al Horford. 18 points from him, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. The 3 general manager, Michael Scott, he had 11 points. They got production off of their bench. They got production from everywhere. Another, now on the plus side for the Kings. Again, I don't think the Kings came out lazy. I don't think they came out poor. I don't think they came out without intensity. I just think Philadelphia was better. Sometimes the post-game analytical work isn't that deep. Yep, Philadelphia was better. They came out and they punched us straight in the mouth. And when we tried to make our runs, they slammed the door in our face. On multiple occasions, that team slammed the door in our face. It's okay to acknowledge that sometimes. You don't want to have to acknowledge it 2, 3, 4 games in a row. Like, it's fine. Philadelphia, they came out and got you. Okay. You got to come out and you got to get Portland on Saturday. And you can't even think about the fact that you got a game on Sunday against a team that is desperately fighting for the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. You just take care of business on Saturday and you're doing yourselves a big favor. It's a big night. Tomorrow's a big night. We got the Lakers and the Bucks. That doesn't really matter to Kings fans. That matters to basketball fans. But Portland plays tomorrow, so that's worth noting. Their game against the Kings on Saturday is the second night of a back-to-back. Memphis plays in Dallas tomorrow. San Antonio plays in Brooklyn. So there are a lot of games that Kings fans are going to have to watch tomorrow night. Some plus on the plus side for the Kings tonight, Kent Bazemore continues to be really, really good. He played 33 minutes off the bench. He had 14 points and 9 rebounds. Buddy Hield had moments. You heard, Katie ask him about, ask him being him being Luke Walton, about using Buddy sparingly in the first half. And it did feel like he was just cautious about when he was used. And Buddy got hot. Buddy was one of the reasons that the Kings were able to dip into that 20-point deficit in the third quarter. But he also had a few possessions where you just wish they had kind of gone differently. He was 8 of 16 shooting. He finished with 22. But again, he got them back in the game. He hit some key baskets. But he also, you know, he took some ill-advised shots as well. Alex Lynn was productive. He had probably a few more turnovers than you'd like to see from a guy who only played 15 minutes. Not a big night from Bogdan Bogdanović, De'Aaron Fox. You know, not really a big night from anybody on the Sacramento Kings. Even Buddy Hield, you know, he had 22. De'Aaron actually led the way with 23. It wasn't really a big night from anybody. You know, Buddy's baskets, a bunch of them, they came in like spurts. I feel like De'Aaron's 23 was very evenly spread out throughout the four quarters, so it never really felt impactful. There isn't a shot that the Kings hit that I felt was impactful. As a matter of fact, I think the most impactful shot I saw, the one I remember the most, was Harrison Barnes. We were deep into this game before the Kings hit their first three, and that was really the difference between in the first half. That was the biggest difference between the 76ers and the Kings, because the Kings were shooting over 50% from the field in the first half. The problem was that Philadelphia had hit like 11 threes and the Kings had hit one. And that trend continued until Buddy Hield got hot and the Kings overall got hot there in the third quarter. But still, you know, 125-108, the Philadelphia 76ers, they shot 17 of 37 from three, while the Sacramento Kings shot 11 of 29. And again, those 11 came very late. The Kings wound up finishing the game at 53% from the field. So they did a lot of things right tonight. They really did. It's just Philadelphia is a better team, and they came out and played better. It happens. They've got to chalk this one up as they got beat by a better team, and they've got to shake this off, and they've got to get ready to play a team that they're competing with for the eighth spot in the Western Conference playoff picture. Also, we all need to cheer Luka Doncic tomorrow night, and Kristaps Porzingis, and Rick Carlisle, and Mark Cuban, and everybody in a Dallas Mavericks uniform, because you need Memphis. That win streak needs to come to an end. Memphis is playing really, really well since beating the Los Angeles Lakers. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, is the last game that the Grizzlies lost, was that to the Kings? Because wasn't the Kings the first night of a back-to-back with the Kings and the Lakers? So, Kings fans, going to need that streak that Memphis is on to kind of come to an end right here. And it would be really nice if it came to an end against Dallas tomorrow. Memphis right now, 31-31. They've clawed their way back to 500, and they're sitting in the eighth spot. Portland and Sacramento, those two teams play each other on Saturday night. They're in the ninth and the 10th spot right now, with Portland sitting at 28-35. They've won two in a row. The Sacramento Kings are 27-35. They're four games back now from the Memphis Grizzlies. The Portland Trailblazers are 3.5 games. You got the San Antonio Spurs. They're 26-34. I mentioned they were taking on the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow, and the New Orleans Pelicans. They sit at 26-36, and they got themselves in a world of hurt this week after they lost to the Dallas Mavericks yesterday, which is understandable. But that loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves was just inexcusable. Like the Pelicans were in a situation like where we were talking about Detroit in Washington. You know, maybe the Kings aren't world beaters, but they're better than them. And you've got to beat those teams. And New Orleans is significantly better than Minnesota, but they weren't able to get the job done. And other notes around in the NBA, only four games tonight. Jamal Murray had a nice little buzzer beater to lift the Denver Nuggets over the Charlotte Hornets, 114-112. The Clippers blew out the Houston Rockets, 120-105. Steph Curry, he has returned to the Golden State Warriors. He has 19 points at the time of this recording. There's still 6:42 left. The Golden State Warriors, of course, they're taking on the Toronto Raptors in San Francisco. Toronto will be here on Sunday to take on your Sacramento Kings. But I was happy to see Steph Curry back in the lineup. And I'm happy that you are listening to this podcast. Thank you, as always, for supporting what we're doing over here on HoopBall. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Sacramento Kings coverage. Make sure you tell all your Kings fans friends about what we are doing here. Make sure you share it on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, whatever your social media platform preference is. And make sure you join me on the Hot Mic app. I'm not sure if we're going to be back on Saturday. We haven't nailed that one out. If you don't follow me yet on social media, please do, at Damian Barling on Twitter, at Damian Barling on Instagram. And we will be back following. You know, we don't do first. We normally don't do shows on the first night of a back-to-back. But this is a pretty big game on Saturday. Either way, we'll be back with a show on either Saturday or Sunday. Maybe we'll be back on Saturday and Sunday. Just make sure you set the alerts. You get alerted every time a new podcast posts. We appreciate you for being here. As always, here on the Sacramento Kings podcast, presented by HoopBall and the HoopBall podcast.